From the Seven Feathers Casino Studio, KQEN forecast. Cloudy with a chance of rain this afternoon. The high near 64. Rain at 100% tonight and the low of 43. Showers and thunderstorms possible after 11 tomorrow. 51 the high. Showers and again a possibility of a thunderstorm tomorrow night and the overnight low around 38. It is currently 55. KQEN News Time, 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We continue interviewing candidates as we back up to the deadline for voting next Tuesday, November 8th. And on with us today from the Constitution Party, candidate for Congress in the 4th Congressional District, our first opportunity this time around to talk to Jim Howard. Jim, thanks for being on.
Hey, well, I appreciate that. It's excited to be on.
So talk about your career background. Let folks get to know more about you.
Well, I was a principal at Pleasant Hill for 4 years. I earned a doctorate and became a professor for a couple years. And they called me back to Pleasant Hill because they thought they had some problems and wanted me to come back and be a superintendent. And I was superintendent there for probably 20-some years, and about over 25 years. So, and then I left to be a professor again at Northwest Christian College, which is now Bushnell. And I was dean and a department head for, at least 8 years there. So, and then I thought, man, I enjoy being a superintendent. So I put myself open, and South Umpqua wanted an interim, and I went down there. And since then, I've just kind of picked up here and there, and I've really been active politically. I ran for this office against DeFazio in 1988, and I wanted to run 86 when it was an open seat, but I'd made a commitment to my youngest son that I wouldn't do anything until he was 18. So he became 18 after DeFazio was an incumbent. Of course, that's tough to beat an incumbent. And I lost. I only got 27% of the vote. And so when he retired, I thought, man, I'm healthy. I'm gonna make a run at it. So it's been really good.
So we, of course, talked to you at least a couple of times during your time with the South Umpqua School District. So it sounds like, though your career is really focused on education, that being politically involved, at least behind the scenes, is not anything new for you.
No, it's things I've done for years. I've worked with school boards, run a lot of campaigns, run bond levies. I've probably passed as many or more bond levies than anybody in the state. The State Department will verify that. I've had bond levies at several at Pleasant Hill, and I was at McKenzie for 2 years. I had a big bond levy up there, and so I've been around a lot of political campaigns like that. And you really have to get out and meet people because you're asking them for money. And you want to, but they've been really successful. And I had one at North Bend too. I was superintendent for 5 years down there. And we had a big successful campaign and built different buildings and everything. And so that's most of my political career, although I did run for office. And I ran for state superintendent. And I overwhelmed Lane County so much that the press were interviewing me thinking I'd won the whole state. And I said, you know, you better wait till Portland comes in because the guy up there is from Portland. And so he beat me up there and beat me overall in the state, but I did really well.
So tell us more about your involvement with the Constitution Party. Why go that direction and how long have you been involved?
I haven't been involved with them very long because when I I went down and tried to register as a Democrat right away so I could get on and run against Val Hoyle and all that. And they said that I'd registered to vote okay, but I wasn't able to register to be a candidate because I went in after last September 6th. And so that was too late. And same thing for the Republican Party, same thing. Then I did re-register as an independent because that's what I'd been the last 8 or 9 years. And so they said, that's a party, you can't do that. So I looked into this Constitution Party, and I qualified because I'm a born-again Christian, and I had to sign that. And so I told them all my issues, and they said, well, you know, we'll put you up because we sponsored the last guy that ran against DeFazio before Alec did. Can't think of his name. They sponsored him for 2 or 3 times. And he finally gave up and went to Portland, and he's a state senator from up there. Robinson's his name.
So talk about sort of your political philosophy overall. What would kind of encapsulate the main things that you're all about politically?
Okay, so I believe with Ukraine and Russia, I believe we have to, and the other in the Mid East, I believe we have to have a strong defense. No question about that. We have to have a strong defense. And then we need to try to get back on this national debt and hold the spending so we don't go in debt anymore, and even get a little tiny fund, even though it's small, to start paying it back. Because, you know, we were in debt. Bill Clinton balanced the budget with G.W. Bush's start. He got things going, and Bill actually had a balanced budget. And George W. Bush, he did fairly well, but near the end, he had that problem with the economy, and he went several billion in the hole. Then Obama got in, and he went a number of billion more, and then Trump gets in and wants to cut taxes, and so he ran some more billion, and then Biden gets in, and it's gone from zero with Bill Clinton, if not much with W, to more with Obama, to a lot more with Trump, and then a lot with Biden. We're $31 trillion in the hole, and we've got to pay that back. We're bankrupting our children. Alex is really behind that, and I'm behind it as well.
And when you look at the area of debt, I mean, when you look further down the road, you mentioned bankrupting the country. Do you really feel like this could shift America's place in the world?
I missed one word you said, so I lost every. So quickly say that again.
Well, I'm just curious with your comments there about the national debt. Do you feel like long term, if this trend continues, it could really change America's place in the world if we continue to have this financial situation?
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Oh, I do. You know, ask yourself, how can you keep doing that? You can't. It's not right. And so we've got to put a hold, and it's going to be tough. But what happens, you see, is you'll see Congress says, well, we're going to have to meet and raise the limit. They're talking about the debt limit so that we can keep government. But if we don't, all these government things are going to be cut. You see, they say, you want to be without this and this and this. You want to be without this or that. And if you don't, then those things are cut, and we're kind of hampered as a society. So both sides get together. The Republicans try to hold them down. And so all of a sudden, they're raising the debt again. So whenever you see the government's going to shut down, you know we're going to go deeper in debt.
Let's talk about military policy. What do you feel the U.S. should be doing or maybe doing differently?
Well, I think we're doing just about, honestly, I have to think we're doing just about right with Ukraine. We're giving them plenty of help, but we're not actively involved. I don't think we want to turn Russia loose with all her nuclear power, and as loony as Putin seems right now, we've got to do something about that so that he doesn't get, you know, wild, because every now and then he threatens nuclear. And So, and then we need to keep an eye on the Mideast, because I think we can. I think I'm a good negotiator. I would have been able to negotiate with that, I think, even though you're thinking, oh man, that it's been tried and tried and tried. I think we can do something about that. But we have to deal with that. We have to deal with Iran. And Iran right now, you know, is in turbulence, as you well know, with all the protests. And but I think we can bring together the Israel people along with the Palestinians. You know, they lost the war, so we took that property, and then they want it back, but it's really their property. You can see their point of view. But I'm always for Israel first. But if we can get Israel to bend a little bit, then I think we can get the with the Palestinians, I think we can get that kind of settled. I just think we can get it settled, because the Israelites they're intelligent, they're bright, but you can see their point of view, because the other people lost the war and they gave that property up. So that's a delicate issue. I think we have to be, but back to Ukraine and Russia, I think Ukraine's really doing well, but they've lost a lot of people. They've lost a lot of infrastructure. It's going to be years for their infrastructure to build back up. So I believe we've got to be a strong military. We've got to be ready to go all out if Russia bothers us. We also have to be strong because of China. You know, she rattles the swords here every now and then. And her deal with Taiwan, we've got a good relationship with them. But they're really, you know, at each other's throat, China and Taiwan is. I think we're doing just about right with China. But we have to have a powerhouse of a military to keep them at bay.
All right. Jim Howard is with us, Constitution Party candidate for Congress. Back in a moment. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1247 Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming at 1. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program, we talk with Donna Smith, the Constitution Party candidate for governor. Jim Howard is on with us now, running for Congress in the 4th Congressional District, also in the Constitution Party, kind of talking our way through different issues. And I'm curious about your take when it comes to education, particularly on the federal level, and what you would like to see change there.
You know, I've always been successful as a superintendent. I had over 25 years experience. And let me tell you what I always did. I said, we all have these new things coming in, but let me tell you what we're going to concentrate on. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. And I didn't vary from that. We can have art, you know, we can have, and social studies, a little bit lesser than those three. But we can have art, we can have all these other things, but we have to concentrate on reading, how to write, and arithmetic. So I start with that. I always maintain that, whether it's the federal level or whether it's at the local level. And when I was superintendent, I always emphasize that. I interviewed to be either assistant superintendent, or actually they switched me and wanted me to be deputy under Secretary of Education. I interviewed for that a few years ago, way back then, and my emphasis was reading, writing, and arithmetic. I'm serious about that. You can have all kinds of special things, special math, but I believe that, and in reading, I think you need to have the phonetic approach. I visited Chahl back there at Harvard. I did postdoctoral work, by the way, at Harvard. I've got a doctor's degree, master's, and doctor from Oregon. But I was invited back to do postdoctoral work back there. And I went to the Chahl Center, and Chahl really feels that the phonetic method is the best method, and I support that. So in reading, I support the phonetic method, because you'll get 80% of the words right if you can sound them out. The other 20% you can get by what I call context clues. In other words, you can figure it out. If you got the phonetic part, you can get almost everything. And in writing, you've got to really concentrate on sentence structure, writing sentences, start with simple sentences, and move your way on down. And in arithmetic, you've got to memorize the multiplication tables. I know that isn't popular, and you got to be able to do the division. And the kids have to know that they're the opposite. You got multiplication, and division is kind of the opposite. And so you can just learn that. And if you can't learn it the structural way, you got to memorize the base of both of those, and then you'll all of a sudden figure them out. Because I've had to clear up the calculus myself and analytical geometry, and I figured math out years ago. And so with that kind of leadership, you're strong. And so that's where I am on that. And that, I really believe you need to take a federal approach and be strong with that, even though their states are in control. I believe that states need to be in control through the local school boards and all that. But believe me, the state has control because they kind of give the school boards their right to rule. But they could take that away anytime. The state board could take that away anytime. But that's sort of my take on education.
So we got a few other things to hit here in the next few minutes. What about federal forest management? What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think recently the foresters and the environmentalists, I think they've kind of hammered out kind of a compromise, and I like it. I mean, I don't like it. I like it. I mean, you know, they got, you can't just go scalp the trees and the old growth. So I'm with the environmentalists on that. But on the other hand, I'm more of a timber guy because I think you've got to be able to cut and you got to be able to replant and you got to have the second growth. But and there's a balance on that. Environmentalists have given up sections on that. And I think they've compromised. So both the timber industry and the environmentalists have worked out a situation. And I think it benefits our great country because you can still cut a lot of logs. And yet you got to manage things. I remember when I was younger, you'd go into a clear cut. The logging company been in there. They had gas cans and everything else laying around. Now when they leave, they cleaned it up and it looks it looks like the trees have been cut, but it looks cleaner. The timber industry need to clean up their act, and the environmentalists need to be, they need to quit hugging trees too. So I like the balance we have right now, to be honest with you.
Let's talk about something you mentioned as we were getting this interview set up, and that was, if I understand correctly, your support for Alex Skourlatos.
Yeah, I really, you know, during this campaign, I really got so I liked him. And we'd show up and we'd have almost the same positions. And I got acquainted with him and I like him. He's a fine man. And so I've decided when I'm with my supporters, I've decided to go ahead and put information out to where I encourage them to vote for him. Because I think he'd be a good candidate. Oh, I know he would be a good candidate. He's outstanding. He's an upright citizen. Contrary to those silly ads that the opponents run, he's really an honorable, great person. And, you know, he did that bravery thing on that train from Amsterdam, I think, to Paris. And he actually attacked that terrorist and put him down. And he beat on him, if you saw the movie. So I'm all for him, not because of that. I'm all for him because he's balanced in his approach. You know, his approach has sort of changed. Everybody's has changed a little bit, but he's just really, really well balanced. And I really like him, and I strongly support him.
Now, it's a unique perspective. This may be one of the first times I've ever had a candidate in an interview who is running say that they support one of your opponents.
Well, I can't help it. He's a wonderful guy. And I was already on the ballot when I realized that. And I thought, you know, I'm gonna stick by this guy. And I hope that people will vote for him.
Just about time to wrap up. What's been the reaction to your campaign as you've been talking to folks?
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. I mean, you've heard my positions. If you're an average middle-of-the-road or even slightly right the road, you can't help but agree with my positions. You don't want a weak military and have China push us around, because they will. Russia and Ukraine, you got to be strong. Russia would be going all out if we didn't have a strong military. And the Mideast, we just need to keep working on that one. That's a difficult one. But that's the way it is.
All right, Jim, we're out of time, but Jim Howard, Constitution Party candidate for Congress, thanks for being on today.
Okay, thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.